My guest at this time is Dr. Larry Sabatow, professor of political science, not just at the University of Virginia, but the College World Series-bound University of Virginia. He's also the director of UVA's Center for Politics, and he joins us now to offer his thoughts and reaction to Monday night's Republican presidential debate in New Hampshire. And Larry, always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate your noticing that we're going to Omaha, and of course we'll win the national title, no doubt.
Good. Good luck to you all. And the big question going in was just how tough all these other Republicans would be on Mitt Romney. Turns out, not very tough at all. Pawlenty wouldn't go for the Obamacare line that he had over the weekend. And the others, for the most part, definitely kept their fire aimed at the incumbent president. Smart move, not smart move.
They were lambs, not lions, and it was dumb, particularly for Pawlenty. I think he's the one who suffered the most, the former governor of Minnesota. He started an argument on Sunday on Fox that he refused to finish at the debate, and you never do that. You never start an argument you won't finish. He attacked Romney for his health care plan, saying that it led to Obamacare, and in fact, he called it Obamacare, combining Obama and Romney. When presented with a perfect opportunity to try to get a real punch in, if not a knockout punch, then at least one Romney would feel and Republican activists around the country would see, he blinked. And he's out doing damage control today. That's all they're doing is damage control, and that tells you that it hurt him rather badly.
So what do you think he and the others were thinking, that this could be our first real national exposure, so we should introduce ourselves more than attacking the front runner? What do you think their logic was?
Well, of course, the minor candidates, I don't think it matters much. There aren't a lot of people on that stage who are going to really have a chance to be the Republican nominee. I don't think it was necessary for Bachman to go after Romney at this early stage, nor even people like Kaine, but it was essential for Pawlenty. He's the one who needs a slingshot effect very early in the process in order to get into the finals. Somebody is probably going to be candidate X opposing Romney. We don't know who candidate X is. It was Pawlenty who needed the boost. So one just wonders, was he ill-prepared? Did he forget his lines? There couldn't have been a strategy behind that because it made no sense.
Yeah, it's hard to understand why he would have said that on Sunday if he wasn't willing to follow up. Do you think this is fatal? You said he needs to really go after Romney early to put himself as that alternate choice in the top tier on the GOP side. Is there still plenty of time for him to do that, or is this first impression kind of more important than the others, perhaps?
People keep saying it's early. That's absolutely wrong. It's late. The key elites and donors and activists are committing by the day. And look, who was watching last night? Who watches a debate about a presidential election that's a year away in June of 2011? The donors, the elites, the people are going to go to the caucuses. The people are going to show up at the New Hampshire primary. And a lot of them got firm impressions of the candidates that will be tough to shake.
Larry, you mentioned that it seems like right now it's kind of Romney and Pawlenty in the top tier. Obviously, there are five other folks up there, some of which are not well-known figures, others who are deemed not to have much of a chance, and others who have self-imploded, meaning Newt Gingrich, essentially, over that time. Do you get the sense that any of them particularly hurt or helped themselves last night?
I think Bachman helped herself a lot. In fact, of the two Minnesotans, there's no question which one did better. Bachman skunked Pawlenty. And of course, there's a lot of bad blood there. The Pawlenty people are furious that a Minnesota congressman is running when her former two-term governor is in the race. Of course, we all remember, those of a certain age, remember Hubert Humphrey and Eugene McCarthy, the two Minnesotans battling it out in 1968. So it can happen. When it does happen, it's unpleasant. And I suspect there's a lot of backbiting going on. But I think Bachman helped herself. You know, Ron Paul is Ron Paul. He's up there to say what he's going to say. He has no illusions about being elected president. Herman Kaine didn't do as well in this one as he did in the first debate, partly because Michelle Bachman did better. They're both Tea Party candidates. And I think of the two, she probably attracted more attention and got more support than he did. So he may have been hurt Newt Gingrich is just not a factor. I can't imagine anybody seriously thinks he's going to be the nominee after what's happened with what we like to call the Newtony. Instead of a mutiny, the Newtony. Right. You lose 16 of your top aides. It's not that Gingrich was bad in the debate. It's just that that's really all he has left.
Larry, you mentioned Bachman and Pawlenty, kind of rivals coming from the same state. And not only that, but they're both expected to be looking to make major statements in Iowa come early next year, especially as Mitt Romney looks like he's scaling back since he's not going to be an active participant in the straw poll later this year. So is this really a slugfest among two Minnesotans for the upper hand in Iowa?
Well, it could be. Now, let's not eliminate the possibility that somebody else is going to jump in. There's still people pushing hard for Chris Christie to get in. We all know Governor Rick Perry from Texas appears to be interested. Nobody knows whether he's really going to run. And again, I think only a foolish person would predict Sarah Palin. She's got to look at Michelle Bachman on that stage and say, uh-oh, I'm losing my position. I'm losing my franchise because I don't think Bachman is all that different from Palin in terms of their base support, the GOP base support. Again, a lot of Tea Party backing there. So there are a lot of hidden dynamics going on behind the debate platform. And some of those are going to play out over the summer. Look, Mitt Romney got a pass now through the summer because there's another debate in mid-July, but he has not agreed to be there. I think it's July 10th. He hasn't agreed to even do it. If he doesn't show up, it really doesn't matter all that much. The debate, that is, doesn't matter all that much. The next scheduled debate that matters is August 13th. Well, that means Romney can skate through the summer.
Very interesting. Larry, last topic before we let you go. Perhaps in addition to Pawlenty not going after Romney like he did the day before on Fox News Sunday, most of the reaction, at least in the internet world, has been on CNN's format, the crazy questions going in and out of the commercial breaks. As someone who has moderated debates in the past, what did you make of the 30-second policy on some of these questions, as well as how the whole format kind of played out?
I put it this way, you know, it's a hypocrisy to constantly criticize candidates for sloganeering and then give them 30 seconds to answer complex questions about domestic and foreign policy. Come on. That was, what, 2 hours? Somewhere around 2 hours.
Right.
30 seconds to tell people what they're going to do to restructure the economy or to answer Libya or Afghanistan? No, it didn't work. It just didn't work. You know, I always give networks credit for spending a lot of money and personnel and time to put on these debates, and that's a good thing, but I think they've got a lot of work to do. That format was inadequate. The timing was bad. Those this or that questions were absurd. I was on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, and I was tweeting about the debate throughout, and I just had some hilarious tweets from other people about, you know, what should be offered as alternatives. You know, my favorite was boxers or briefs. You may remember that got President Clinton in trouble, and I guess probably Congressman Weiner too.
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's 20 years ago now, and Bill Clinton got that question in a forum. Hard to believe.
But, and really, what did it add? Coke or Pepsi? You know, hot wings or mild sauce? A deep dish or thin crust pizza? Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's the theater of the absurd. That some popular culture questions can be revealing. There was nothing at all interesting or revealing about the ones that were asked. They were a waste of time.
Well, we'll see how many changes are made by the next group of reporters and anchors that get to host one of these. Hopefully some lessons will have been learned. Larry, always great to be with you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg. See ya.
Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He's also director of UVA's Center for Politics. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.